Hey, preacher man, give me the gospel. Tell me of the God man who bore all the blame. Hey, preacher man, give me the gospel.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. Time for a sermon review. We like to do these here on Issues Etc. Basic purpose of this is, almost every Christian goes to church on Sunday, almost every Sunday. They walk in, they sit down, and at one point or another during that hour or 2 hours in church on Sunday, they're going to hear something like a sermon. It may not be called a sermon, it might be called a message, meditation, homily, whatever you want to call it. But don't you think that if this is a weekly activity for Christians, which it ought to be, by the way, Christians ought to be the best sermon listeners they can be? Especially when Jesus emphasizes over and over and over again how we ought to attend to his word, abide in his word, hear his word, believe his word. How often does Jesus tell us that this is a lot of what disciples are supposed to be doing, hearing the word? Christians ought to be good at listening to sermons, not just, I'm not talking about passive and active listening. I'm talking about listening for what they ought to be hearing on Sunday morning from the mouth of a preacher who says he's preaching a Christ-centered sermon. Jesus tells his opponents, you search the scriptures because therein you suppose you have eternal life. These scriptures are the ones that testify of me. If the Bible testifies about Jesus, shouldn't your preacher who says he's preaching the Bible be testifying about Jesus every Sunday? They talk about spiritual preaching, being led by the Spirit. I get in the pulpit, I let the Spirit tell me what to say. What does the Spirit tell preachers to say, whether they listen or not? Jesus tells us the Comforter, the Holy One, the Spirit that he was going to send from the Father, would lead us into all truth. He shall testify of me. So if the Spirit's testifying about Jesus on Sunday morning, shouldn't your preacher be doing the same? Whenever we do a sermon review, we have a simple three-part diagnostic. It doesn't tell you everything you need to know, but it certainly does tell you one of the basic things you ought to know about listening to what is being advertised on the church sign outside as we preach Christ. You ought to hear Christ, shouldn't you? You should hear Jesus talked about. Can you remember the last sermon you heard? Maybe Jesus might not have been mentioned, or if he was mentioned, he was just mentioned by way of citation, footnote. Oh, by the way, Jesus says this, or Jesus says that, or do you remember when Jesus did that? Is that what Paul meant when he said, we preach Christ and him crucified, determined to know nothing among you except Christ and him crucified? So the first part of the diagnostic is this. How often is Jesus mentioned? It's very simple. Keep a running tally of how often Jesus is mentioned. Now, if Jesus is mentioned, go on to part two. Is Jesus the subject of the verbs? Now, this isn't intended to be an exhaustive analysis of the scripture or of the sermon, but simply, when the preacher's talking to you, is he telling you what Jesus has done for you, or is he talking about what you do for Jesus? There's a big difference between the two. One is preaching Christ, the other one's preaching the Christian. So if Jesus is mentioned and he's the subject of the verbs, that is, he is the one doing the action, doing the doing, then you can go on to part three, which is, what are those verbs? What is the preacher telling you that Jesus has done, is doing, will do for you? Is this the Jesus who merely motivates, comforts, helps, is kind of there like the safety net when things start going wrong, inspires you? But very little of the Jesus who lived for you, suffered for you, died for you, rose again from the dead for you. Jesus says he was all about going to become a ransom for many. So shouldn't the sermon you're listening to present to you in no uncertain terms Jesus Christ, the sacrifice for sins, risen from the dead? So is Jesus mentioned? Is he the one doing the verbs, driving the verbs? And what are those verbs? Are they the verbs of pop psychology, of self-help, or are the verbs that Scripture presents Jesus doing for you in Scripture? Remember what Paul said. He said, I presented to you as first of importance the gospel, and then he goes on to say that Jesus died for our sins, that he rose again on the third day and then appeared to many. Simple sentences, Jesus is the subject, and all the verbs point to Jesus' saving work for sinners. That's how we analyze sermons here on Issues, Etc. So this sermon comes from Pastor George Borghardt of St. Mark's Lutheran Church in Conroe, Texas. And he's preaching on the text Matthew 11, beginning at verse 25. I'll read it for you, and then we'll hear the sermon. At that time, Jesus declared, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to the little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Are we going to hear a sermon about Jesus, the example of humility, or something even better?
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Heavenly Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Please be seated. In the name of Jesus, O wretched man that I am, tired, weary, unable to do good, the good that I want to do, I don't do, the very things I hate, I do. My sins weigh me down, like a weight on my back that I can't get rid of, like a sickness with no cure that saps my strength and leaves me just tired. And with all my will, I fight to do good just once, to pull myself up the hill, and I just can't do it. And when I look at my life, I see only my sins, the war, the constant battle between what I should do and what I end up doing. From the good that I want to do to the evil that I do daily and much. The war between Christ in me and my constant failures. And it seems that I'm losing. Is that how you feel? It's how I feel every day. St. Paul describes it in the epistle lesson. The good that I want to do, I don't do. The things that I hate, I do. Is that your struggle? Do you ever look down and just wonder, how could God possibly save someone like me? Dear children of God, I know you love Christ with all your heart, desire to serve Him and Him alone, and then you don't. You aim at being a Christian in any given situation, even if just once, for only a moment, and then find yourself miserably failing every time. And hell is always there. The reality of damnation. The damnation that you actually deserve. That you know that you deserve. The fear of separation from God, the Father. The one you try to fear, love, and trust in above all things. You love Him, don't you? You really love Him with everything you know that you've got inside of you. You do that every day. But when the rubber hits the road, often you treat those around you worse than those who hate God treat their neighbor. If you don't think you do, take a hard look at yourself, an honest one with God's law, and you'll see how really scary you can be. I see my sin, sin after sin, weakness after weakness, and it's as if I just can't continue. I need rest. Lord, save me. Save me from me. How can Jesus love such a person as you and me? But for you and me, for those who have nothing, nothing to cling to, nothing to point to, who are not just wretched in word, but actually disgust themselves by what they have done, or at least should be disgusted, who truly don't do what they want to do and only do the things that make themselves sick to their stomachs, to such people, and to only such people, Christ says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly at heart, and you will find rest for your soul.
We're reviewing a sermon by Pastor George Borghardt, preached on Matthew 11, beginning at verse 25. Now he's focusing in on those words that you just heard. You know what I like about good, solid, Christ-centered, cross-focused preaching? He had mentioned there Romans chapter 7. Read it again sometime. That is St. Paul not depressed. That is not St. Paul feeling bad about himself, having a bad day. That is St. Paul every day. The good that I would do, I don't. The evil that I don't want to do, I do. Who will save me? Asking that question and answering it, thanks be to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that's the daily life of the Christian. That's what I like about good Christ-centered, cross-focused preaching. It is realistic. It doesn't present you with a pie in the sky. Everything's okay. Life's a bed of roses. If you're a Christian, everything will be great for you. Your life will improve, and your wife will get better looking, and your children will become better behaved. It presents the Christian life as it really is, as you know it really is. You struggling with your own sin, and the only answer, the only solution, and the only help, the only salvation in the perfect life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Care to react? 877-623-MY-IE, or email us here in the studio on this Wednesday, the 16th of July. Talk back at issuesetc.org.
Salvation, how he lived and how he died for me on the cross. Hey, preacher man, give me the gospel. Give me the good news of God's only son. Hey.
Issues Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check, Issues Etc., Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Thanks for your support of Issues Etc.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,500 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Chaplain Keith Giroux, David Lininger, Alicia Leopold, Andrew Leopold, Nathan Beathy, Ross Meyer, David Gemmer, Dr. Kelly Chandler, Sam Drake, and Dawn Reeder, thanks for your support.
Preaching Christ and Him Crucified, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Will your church be one of the Issues Etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod to pledge $1,000 to Issues Etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues Etc. 300, look for the sponsors section at our homepage, issuesetc.org. Please consider including Issues Etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues Etc. 300.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7? Check out our website, issuesetc.org, and click on-demand audio. Listen at the gym, in your kitchen, in your garden, on your iPod, your computer, or in your car. The technology may be new, but the truth never changes. Issues Etc. on-demand audio, available for your convenience at issuesetc.org. 10 hours of new programming each week. issuesetc.org and click on-demand audio.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're right in the middle of a sermon review. Pastor George Borghardt, who also is a regular guest on the program, preaching at his congregation down in Conroe, Texas, near Houston, on Matthew chapter 11, the famous words of Jesus that many take simply as an opportunity to preach Jesus as an example of humility. Jesus is not talking about himself as example here. He's talking about himself as Savior, as bearer of burdens. What's the burden that Jesus bears for you? The burden he bears for you is your sin. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away. Now, the word there really means who is carrying the sins of the world. Those are the words of John the Baptist. That ought to be the message your preacher is giving you every Sunday. So the passage we're working from, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul.
Come to Jesus, dear friends. Let him reveal the Father to you, children of God. Take his yoke upon you, dear sinners. Find rest. Find peace. Find salvation only in him. Rest. The Lord speaks that word rest twice. The word Jesus uses for rest in Greek literally means a break, a place to put your burdens down, a repose. Wouldn't that be nice? To rest and then rest some more. To get a break just to get away. Or a place to put all those burdens that weigh you down. Have you ever carried something heavy a long distance? You do well the first little bit, then it gets heavier and heavier. And as you're going uphill, your speed goes from fast to slow. But when you put it down, when you put that heavy thing down, it's as if you are free. Like you have super strength and speed, like you're walking on the moon, lighter than air. No longer do you carry all that dead weight. It's as if you can do anything. Jesus describes that rest today. Some relief, some peace, some place to put your burdens. Relief from your life, from the life and the burdens of your life. A break for your soul. Not just soul, but life too. Rest for all of you. Not just part, but every last bit of you. From your head down to your toes. For the Greek word Jesus uses, psuche, means soul. But it also means life. It's all of you. He gives rest not just for part of you that's spiritual, but the whole lot of you gets his rest. And what is the relief that Jesus gives you? The rest that he gives your life and your soul. You know it. He gives you the forgiveness of your sins. He sets you free from all that you have ever done. He takes your eyes off of you and the good that you want to do and don't do. And he puts them on him. He brings an end to you always failing before God and you're always missing the mark. In Christ. Christ's perfect life and innocent suffering and death. In Christ you receive rest for your burdens and are freed from your sins. And death, his cross, his death on the cross turns your death into a gateway to eternal rest. He gives relief from your sins. No more fear from your sins getting you. No more hell. The peace which comes from all of your sins and all of your failures and all of your burdens being forgiven. All the yoke of God's law and requirement, all is borne, carried by Jesus, carried to the cross where he died. He takes upon himself your sin. All the good that you want to do and all the things that you hate that you actually do. And he dies. And by his death, gives you rest. And not rest later. Rest now. Not a break on some future weekend or on a river or repose sometime later. But now, today, in the gifts of Calvary. The Word, absolution, your baptism, the supper today gives the forgiveness of sins, won by his bearing your yoke of sin and carrying your burdens to the cross. Dear children of God, come to Jesus. Take his yoke. Learn from him. Not as another law thing for you to do for God that you want to do and then don't. Oh, pastor told me to come to Jesus and that's just another thing I want to do and then don't do. But in the way of the gospel, come to him. That is, in the way of him coming to you and you receiving his gifts. For Christ has died, and in your baptism, you died with him. He has risen to new life, freed from the burdens of the law. You are now rested from the law too. Don't wait for when your ticker runs out to finally get rest. Right now there is rest in the Word, in the water, in the absolution spoken to you, and today, most certainly, in the body and blood of Jesus given for you to eat and drink. Die with Jesus. Die to your sins. Die to your failures. Die to your guilt. Die to yourself. And leave all of it in the tomb of Christ. And then rise again. Rise again in well-rested freedom. Then free from every burden and yoke of the law, take upon yourself Jesus' yoke and serve others. Your neighbor, your family, your wife, your kids, your parents, your friends, your co-workers, put them first before you. Tend to their needs. Carry their burdens. Carry their yokes as Jesus carries yours. His burden is light. His yoke easy. Not because you're so good at being a Christian. We all know ourselves to be quite the opposite. His yoke is easy and his burden is light because he is carrying them and not you. His life lived in you, your life now lived out in him for others. Stop and look at yourself. You'll see the same thing as you did before. The wretchedness, burdens, failures, good that you want to do and don't do, and who shall save me? Talk that St. Paul says in the epistle lesson. But in Christ, in his yoke, in his burden, with him carrying everything that you have ever done and will do for you on the cross, there is true rest, a break, a Sabbath, a holiday that not even death itself can take away. So the Father sees none of your failures, only Christ for you. In fact, all death will do for you is make that rest more real. For you will finally see and experience all his rest that right now is yours only by faith. That is, by receiving his suffering yoke and sin-bearing burdens. Need a break? Life gotten too hard? Need another holiday? Or perhaps a vacation from your current vacation? Some relief from your burdens? Then hear again Jesus and receive him in his body and blood. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Now, I know that kind of preaching, Christ-centered, cross-focused preaching, that emphasizes what Christ has done for you, isn't popular in the church today, especially not in the busy, 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 we got to keep everybody busy doing, getting things done, being effective, accomplishing our missions, our goals, whatever it may be, that has become Sunday morning. You go to church, you feel like you're getting an assignment list for the rest of the week rather than hearing Christ and him crucified. But is that so hard? I'm speaking to preachers now. Is it so hard to step in the pulpit and give your people what they need most? Rest for their souls? Jesus went all the way to the cross in order to give that to sinners, rest for your souls. And you find it hard to get into the pulpit and give your people that for which Jesus bled and died? Preacher, Jesus has already done all the work. All you've got to do is proclaim it to your people. Don't worry about whether or not they're busy enough. They've got lives of their own. You give them Jesus, life, death, and resurrection. We'll be right back.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 1046, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693. Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.